Hello, this is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Joanne Lowney, with the Wall Street Journal Business News for Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. And here are today's business headlines. Automakers brace for EV sales plunge after tax credit expires. Walmart ditching dyes, other artificial ingredients in its food brands. Inside EY's U.S. auditing cleanup to reduce shortfalls. U.S. to take equity stake in Lithium Americas and its Nevada mining project. Co-CEOs are back in fashion for tech titans. Berkshire Hathaway near $10 billion deal for Occidental's petrochemical unit. Silver Lake finally sealed a dream deal. Jared Kushner was key. Video game giant Electronic Arts nears roughly $50 billion deal to go private. U.S. government is expected to get multi-billion dollar fee in TikTok deal. Our first article today is Automakers Brace for EV Sales Plunge After Tax Credit Expires. General Motors, Ford, and others plan to continue incentivizing battery-powered car sales, by Ryan Felton and Christopher Ottz. Automakers are scrambling to unload lingering electric vehicles on dealer lots around the country now that a $7,500 tax credit that juiced EV sales for years has expired. The EV credit, which expired Tuesday, has lifted battery-powered car sales for years. Without it, Ford Chief Executive Jim Farley predicted EV market share will fall by more than half, to between 4% and 5% of total sales by the end of the year. "We expect a pretty deep fall-off," Farley said, on the sidelines of a company event in Detroit. Christopher Mainmer, chairman of Nissan's Americas region, said October should be the worst market years in years for EVs. "Manufacturers are going to have to push cars away because demand is not going to be there," he said. Dealers have about 134,000 unsold EVs, according to the latest data from Cox Automotive. At the current rate of sales, that means dealers will need 2 months to sell off the remaining supply. EV sales were scorching in the final month of the tax credit, lifted by deals that in some parts of the country allowed customers to snatch up an EV for as little as $39 a month. Electric models represented an estimated 12.2% of retail sales in September, up 2.6 percentage points from a year earlier for a record share, according to J.D. Power, an industry research firm. Most major car makers report their latest quarterly sales results Wednesday. Spurred by the EV surge, overall sales are on pace for a slight increase from a year earlier, J.D. Power said. For years, Ford and crosstown rival General Motors have been building up a supply chain to support the rollout of numerous EVs, only to see customer demand dry up and federal support for the technology wind down. EV growth stagnated in the U.S., partly because of high sticker prices, even with the tax credit factored in. The average EV sold for upward of $57,000 in August, over $9,000 more than a comparable gas-powered car, according to Cox Automotive, an industry research firm. Ford and other automakers have recognized that they need to significantly rein in costs of EV production if they're ever going to succeed in the U.S., and Ford recently unveiled a $2 billion project to overhaul a Louisville, Kentucky factory to build a new line of affordable, high-tech EVs. The first model, a $30,000 pickup, is expected in 2027. "It's going to be a vibrant industry, but it's going to be smaller, way smaller, than we thought," Farley said. Munier and Nissan executive said he thinks automakers will need to lean on promotions to sell down remaining EVs, likely keeping sales artificially swollen until the end of the year. You'll still see quite a lot of sales because of what has been built, he said. Ford and GM said Tuesday they would both keep incentivizing battery-powered car sales to help contain the fallout of the credit ending. A GM spokesman said the company is working with dealers on a way to extend the $7,500 credit for leases for an unspecified time. Reuters reported Monday that the car makers were signing up dealers for programs that would effectively extend the credit. Ford said it is working to provide EV shoppers with competitive lease payments through its finance arm until the end of the year. Farley acknowledged its promotion will require significant financial support from Ford. The company expects to lose about $5 billion in its EV business this year. I don't want to imply at all that those kind of programs are going to last forever, Farley said. It's a transition. Write to Ryan Felton at ryan.felton@wsj.com and Christopher Otts at christopher.otts, that's OTTS, at wsj.com. Walmart ditching dyes, other artificial ingredients in its food brands. Retail giant to shift great value, other store brands towards more natural ingredients. Amazon plans new private label line. By Jesse Newman and Sarah Nassauer. Walmart is taking the biggest step yet to overhaul ingredients used in America's food supply. The country's largest grocery said Wednesday that it was working to remove synthetic dyes from all its store brand foods, including Great Value, Market Side, Freshness Guaranteed, and Better Goods. Walmart also plans to eliminate 30 other ingredients, ranging from certain artificial sweeteners to preservatives. Many big food companies are working to shift away from artificial ingredients in packaged goods, as the Trump administration and its Make America Healthy Again movement take aim at processed food. Walmart's heft makes its plans likely to trigger further changes throughout the nation's food supply chain, from ingredient suppliers to other food makers and retailers. Great Food alone is one of the largest consumer brands in the country, with billions of dollars in sales each year. U.S. consumers have shifted more of their food spending to store brands in recent years as they try to save money. Retailers are boosting investment in their in-house brands, with Walmart last year launching Better Goods, a food line with trendy flavors and more natural ingredients. Amazon on Wednesday debuted a new private label food brand called Amazon Grocery, combining products currently sold under e-commerce companies Amazon Fresh and Happy Belly Brands. More than 1,000 items will be sold under the new label, Amazon said, including eggs, honey, potatoes, rice, and brownies, with most priced under $5. Walmart said its ingredient changes will affect products such as sports drinks, cake frosting, and cheese dip, with some changes already showing up on its shelves. The retail giant plans to nix ingredients including titanium dioxide, a food coloring, and azobarbonamide used to help bread rise consistently. Walmart said it's working to keep its prices in check despite the ingredient changes, which are set to wrap up by January 2027. For years, Walmart's customer data has shown that more shoppers want simple, natural ingredients, said Scott Morris, Senior Vice President for Food and Consumable Private Brands at Walmart, U.S. More than 50% of Walmart shoppers now flip over a food package to look at ingredients, he said. The customer is just getting louder and louder on this, Morris said, adding that some changes have been in the works for years and that natural ingredients are more available now than they have ever been. Walmart plans to tweak more than 1,000 products across its stores gradually, in part to give ingredient suppliers time to meet its volume and cost needs, Morris said. Supplies of natural ingredients are still constrained but growing. We feel like we can continue to be a catalyst with that demand as well, so that we can get the cost of proposition exactly where we want it, he said. Food companies for decades have worked to use more natural ingredients as shoppers shun artificial versions. Target's largest private label food brand, Good and Gather, was launched 6 years ago without ingredients like synthetic colors and artificial sweeteners and flavors. Those efforts have accelerated as Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has spearheaded a push for deeper changes in a bid to tackle America's chronic health problems. Kennedy has called on food companies to remove all synthetic dyes, which he has said are poisoning American children. The latest Make America Healthy Again report, a signature document for the Trump administration, said the government aims to reestablish a national definition for ultra-processed foods and restrict use of federal food assistance programs for junk food. The food industry has defended the safety of widely used dyes and other ingredients in Kennedy's crosshairs. Since June, however, a string of big food companies, including Kraft Heinz, General Mills, and Nestle, have pledged to remove synthetic dyes from their U.S. products. Tyson Foods has said it would nix the dyes from its branded products, and last month also pledged to stop using high-fructose corn syrup along with other preservatives and sweeteners. Replacing artificial ingredients hasn't been easy or cheap, and in some cases shoppers have rejected new versions of popular brands. General Mills learned in 2016 that shoppers weren't fans of a new Trix cereal made with all-natural ingredients, including dyes derived from radishes, purple carrots, and turmeric. It quickly reintroduced Red 40 and Yellow 6. Food science has evolved since then, but changing recipes can still be tough, especially in large volumes. Walmart has run into challenges, the company said, like achieving bright colors in beverages naturally. One option Walmart has considered, using a clear liquid and colored packaging instead. In baked goods, Walmart had to find natural dyes that work for sprinkles, frosting, and sometimes the cake itself. That whole area is dense with a lot of things that needed to be reformulated, Morris said. Write to Jesse Newman at jesse.newman@wsj.com and Sarah Nassauer at sarah.nassauer, that's N-A-S-S-A-U-E-R, at wsj.com. Inside EY's U.S. auditing cleanup to reduce shortfalls. The Big Four accounting firm expects its rate of deficiencies to be at or below 9% in the latest inspections, down from 46% 3 years earlier, people familiar say, by Mark Maurer. Ernst & Young expects to achieve its lowest U.S. auditing shortfall rate in 16 years after working to improve its practices by shedding dozens of audit clients, setting up centralized support teams, and relying more on tech tools. Auditing deficiencies are expected to be at or below 9% this year for EY as the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board wraps up its inspections process for the Big Four accounting firms, people familiar with the matter said. EY has chipped away at the rate from 46% in 2022 and then 37% and 28% in 2023 and 2024, respectively. The firm had the highest efficiency rate among the Big Four, which also includes Deloitte, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and KPMG in the U.S. in those 3 years. EY's 2025 standing among peers is unknown, as the other three firms haven't disclosed their deficiency rates yet. The PCAOB is expecting to issue its inspection findings in the coming months. PwC said it is seeing meaningful improvement over its 2024 results, which saw a 16% deficiency rate. EY on Wednesday is set to release a report stating that it anticipates its deficiency rate will fall below 10%. EY said it's continuing investments in technology and retaining and training its workforce will have key to shrinking the deficiency in its audits. And the firm last year said it planned to invest $1 billion through 2027, in part to strengthen AI-enabled audit and tax platforms and boost U.S. early career compensation. We expect technology to continue to support our teams in terms of the quality of the work they do, but also how they do the work and the insights they're able to glean from the work, said Dante D'Egidio, EY's America's Vice Chair for Assurance. The PCAOB's findings led EY to improve the quality of its U.S. audit work, which centered on standardizing its approach and building centralized teams to provide audit support. The firm in 2027 said it was also enhancing portions of its audit methodology and tools in refreshing its approach to improve training. The revamp has included cutting ties with many U.S. public companies as audit clients, as the Wall Street Journal reported last year. EY had a net loss of 101 public company audit clients between January 1, 2023 and June 30, 2025, including 132 departures, according to data from research firm Ideagon. Deloitte, KPMG, and PwC had net gains of 61, 43, and 9, respectively, in that period. We made an intentional decision to reduce the number of audit clients in our portfolio in order to accelerate improvements to the audit and drive sustainable audit quality, D'Egidio said. The frequency of EY public company audit client losses is unlikely to persist, D'Egidio said. Public companies generally switch auditors either to pay lower fees or because they have gone private, been acquired, or outgrown the capabilities of the original firm. Audit firms also can drop clients, particularly if they have become overly risky or serving them presents a conflict of interest. Deloitte led market share in U.S. public company auditing in 2024, succeeding EY, which had been number one for the last decade, according to Ideagain data based on the number of audit reports. Client numbers alone don't capture growth, D'Egidio said. EY auditors are increasingly using AI to improve the consistency and efficiency of their work. AI automation frees up auditors to focus more on exercising judgment and professional skepticism, often a reason why they joined the profession in the first place, said Richard Jackson, EY's global and America's assurance AI leader. The firm adopted several new AI auditing tools in the spring, meaning those changes would be reviewed in next year's inspections, Jackson said. The tools allow auditors to translate a client IT system's program code into plain English and to quickly research accounting questions. AI also automates certain procedures such as validating calculations and identifying inconsistencies that require follow-up. Some of these financial statements can run to hundreds of pages, so the ability to inject those with AI capabilities and turn effort that used to take literally hours into minutes is just something that improves the quality of that, Jackson said. Audit deficiencies for the six large U.S. audit firms, the Big Four, BDO, and Grant Thornton, appear to be down compared with the previous year. The PCAOB's acting chair, George Botic, said last week, citing preliminary results of the latest inspections. Big Four auditing shortfalls lessened in 2024 inspections, the reports for which were released in March, following 2 years of then-PCAOB Chair Erica Williams calling the results unacceptable. Williams has said improved results are a sign of the PCAOB's efforts to push firms to address their greater deficiencies coming out of the pandemic. Williams resigned in July at Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Paul Atkins' request. Critics of the PCAOB have argued that the inspections too often count minor errors at auditing shortcomings, inflating the percentage. The PCAOB can't begin its inspection of any given registered accounting firm until its auditors have put together a final set of audit documentation, a task that has to be done as close as possible to the end of a particular audit. The PCAOB's inspection teams select certain completed audits conducted by a firm for review. Write to Mark Maurer at mark.maurer@wsj.com. U.S. to take equity stake in Lithium Americas and its Nevada mining project. The Thacker Pass project would mine one of the largest known lithium deposits in the U.S. by Tali Arbel. The U.S. government is taking a 5% stake in Lithium Americas, a Vancouver, BC-based mining company, and a 5% stake in the company's Nevada mining project, the Energy Department said Tuesday evening, restructuring a $2.26 billion U.S. government loan agreement from 2024. With its stake, the government aims to boost the U.S. supply chain for lithium, an important industrial material used in electric vehicle batteries, smartphones, and renewable energy storage. The U.S. is seeking to reduce reliance on overseas suppliers. The equity stake was needed to help make the mine project viable after a drop in the price of lithium, Energy Security Chris Wright said earlier on Bloomberg Television. It's in America's best interest to get that mine built, Wright said, adding that production of Thacker Pass, one of the largest known lithium deposits in the U.S., could help lessen China's grip on the lithium market. Lithium Americas has been in negotiations with the Energy Department and automaker General Motors, its partner in the Thacker Pass, Nevada lithium mine, over the terms of the $2.26 billion loan. The Energy Department said the revised deal includes more than $100 million worth of new equity. The changes protected taxpayers, it said. Lithium Americas needs to raise some more capital so the mine is financially sound, Wright said. We're leaning in with a large amount of debt capital, so it's just a more commercial transaction. The deal will help finance the construction of manufacturing facilities at Thacker Pass, the Energy Department said, which are eventually expected to produce 40,000 tons a year of lithium carbonate for lithium-ion batteries. U.S.-traded shares of Lithium Americas jumped more than 34% in after-hours trading. Lithium Americas declined to comment Tuesday. GM didn't respond to a request for comment. The loan agreement for Lithium Americas originated under the Biden administration as it sought to support the U.S. electric vehicle market. The Trump administration has also been reviewing loans for other Biden-era clean energy projects. A Lithium Americas stake would be the latest example of the Trump administration's involvement in industry. Washington made a deal for a golden share in U.S. steel that gives the U.S. government authority over the steelmaker as a condition of Japanese rival Nippon Steel's takeover. It struck an agreement with NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices for a portion of sales of artificial intelligence chips to China. and the Pentagon agreed to take a 15% stake in rare earths miner MP Materials, saying it would spend billions of dollars investing in the Las Vegas-based company and purchasing its output. Write to Tali Arbell at tali.arbell@wsj.com. Boeing has started working on a 737 MAX replacement. While CEO Kelly Ortberg has focused on addressing quality issues and financial concerns, a new narrow-body plane is in development. By Benjamin Katz and Drew Fitzgerald. Boeing is planning a new single-aisle airplane that would succeed the 737 MAX, according to people familiar with the matter, a long-term bid to recover business lost to rival Airbus during its series of safety and quality problems. Earlier this year, Chief Executive Kelly Ortberg met with officials from Rolls-Royce Holdings in the UK, two of the people said, where they discussed a new engine for the aircraft. Ortberg appointed a new senior product chief at Boeing's commercial plane business, whose prior role was developing a new type of aircraft. Boeing has also been designing the flight deck of a new narrow-body aircraft, according to a person familiar with the plans. The new aircraft is in early-stage development, and plans are still taking shape, some of the people said. Boeing's plans represent a shift for the company, which had put some new aircraft development work on the back burner while it navigated multiple challenges. They are also a sign that the company is betting that its cutting-edge plane design could power its business for the next few decades. Ortberg hasn't publicly detailed any plans for the 737 successor. He has consistently said that fixing Boeing's long-running quality and manufacturing problems and shoring up its balance sheet are his priorities. At a recent investor conference, Ortberg said, the company is looking to finish up various projects, which will also free up a lot of capital for us to focus on what's next. Boeing said in a statement that it remains focused on its recovery plan, including delivering on a backlog of roughly 6,000 commercial airplanes and certifying already announced aircraft models. Our team evaluates the market, advances key technology, improves our financial performance so that we will be ready when the time is right to move forward with a new product, the company added. Boeing's aircraft development programs have struggled in recent years. The 737 MAX entered commercial service in May of 2017. Two deadly crashes involved the jets resulted in global grounding of the fleet in 2019 and delayed two new variants. The company later dropped plans to build a new midsize aircraft that it had been trumpeting. It is years behind on a new upgrade for its 777. The crashes and other safety problems dented customers' confidence, spurred turnover in Boeing's senior management, and prompted regulatory crackdowns. As Boeing struggled, rival Airbus didn't sit still. The European aircraft manufacturer has grown to be the world's biggest plane maker by total deliveries and order backlog. Despite starting production roughly 20 years after its rival, Airbus deliveries of A320 narrow-body jets have caught up to Boeing's deliveries of its 737s. Airbus's gains are bringing it billions of dollars to invest in its own next-generation narrow-body, an aircraft that it wants to deliver to customers in the late 2030s. Boeing's previous chief, Dave Calhoun, considered reviving the effort for a mid-size aircraft to gradually replace the 737 family and discussed the idea with customers. Those grand plans took a back seat to more pressing problems following a mid-air door plug blowout that exposed persistent manufacturing problems and led to Calhoun's departure in 2024. Boeing has historically signaled development plans years in advance to entice airline customers, lock in commitments from suppliers, and drum up interest from investors. Wartburg, who has led Boeing for just over a year, has had an eye on Boeing's next big play. Building an all-new aircraft known as Clean Sheet Design can take over a decade and cost tens of billions of dollars. Manufacturers typically look for at least a 15% jump in fuel efficiency when deciding whether to embark on a major plane program. That could come from new engine architecture, lighter materials, or radical changes to the airframe. In February, Wartburg traveled to Rolls-Royce's factory in Derby, England, a roughly three-hour drive from London, where he met with the company's CEO, Tufan Erginbilgic. The Boeing chief heard the company's pitch to supply an engine for a new narrow-body aircraft. "We actually hosted Boeing leadership in Derby to talk about narrow-body this year," Erginbilgic said, according to a transcript of September investor event viewed by the Wall Street Journal. That should give you a sense of where the conversations are. Rolls-Royce, which began testing a prototype of its newest engine in 2023, doesn't yet have a customer for the technology. The new engine could offer a 10% jump in fuel efficiency compared with engines on Airbus's A320neo, and up to 20% when combined with other upgrades to a new airframe, the Rolls-Royce CEO said in the investor presentation. In a separate media event, Erginbilgic said the company would need a partner to help manufacture the engines and could begin deliveries as soon as 2035, a faster timeline than what Airbus is planning for its next narrow-body plane. Any deal with Rolls-Royce would mark a major change for Boeing, which for up to 40 years has used engines from CFM International, a joint venture between GE Aerospace and Safran, to power its 737 narrow-body planes, the first 737 aircraft made its debut in the 1960s. In April, Boeing shifted the focus to a project with the National Aeronautics and Space Administration aimed at developing a radical new and greener aircraft, known as X-66. Instead, the company has retooled that effort to design a lighter and more aerodynamic wing for a new aircraft. The next month, Wartburg promoted Brian Yutko, boss of its flying taxi subsidiary, Wisk Aero, to a role leading product development with the company's commercial division. The role would include overseeing any successor to the 737 family of planes. Boeing executives have said that Wisk technologies would be essential to designing future cockpit avionics, including Boeing's next airplane. Wartburg has worked to convince customers and the public that Boeing can overcome its challenges. That has been reflected in comments from airlines, including the discount carrier Ryanair, one of Boeing's biggest customers and at times a staunch critic. "Boeing is doing a really good job at the moment. The aircraft are coming early. Quality is excellent," Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary said in a press conference in August. He said Ryanair had started recalling engineers it had based at Boeing's factories to oversee the plane's makers' work. The Federal Aviation Administration, which will have to approve Boeing's new plane, is loosening its grip over the company's aircraft deliveries and production. Regulators expressed tentative satisfaction with the plane maker's efforts to improve its manufacturing quality. The company still has major near-term hurdles to clear. Two new 737 MAX models have yet to be certified. Boeing is roughly 6 years behind schedule in bringing an upgraded 777X, a long-distance aircraft, to market. Write to Benjamin Katz at ben.katz@wsj.com and Drew Fitzgerald at andrew.fitzgerald@wsj.com. This is your volunteer broadcaster, Joanne Lowney. If you miss any part of this program, you can get it on demand on our new website, sunsounds.org, then click on our broadcast info and audio. You can take Sun Sounds with you. Get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. And you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Now back to our next article. You can't run from fear. American Eagle CEO on the Sydney Sweeney uproar. You can't run from fear. American Eagle CEO on the Sydney Sweeney uproar. Jay Scottstenson, company's 71-year-old chief, has uncanny ability to discern what young shoppers want. By Suzanne Kapner. American Eagle's Outfitters chief executive had a message for staff when Sydney Sweeney ad campaign blew up on the internet. Hold tight. He instructed executives to stay calm and directed employees not to comment on the ads. He put a small team in charge of monitoring social media posts and hired a firm to poll customers. The company didn't pull any of the ads. You can't run from fear. Jay Scottstenson, the billionaire CEO behind American Eagle, said in his first interview on the subject, "We stand behind what we did." Scottstenson personally approved the ads before they began airing on July 23rd. They showed Sweeney, an actress known for her role in HBO series Euphoria, dressed suggestively in denim. The campaign's tagline, "Sydney Sweeney has great genes." Genes are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color, Sweeney said in one ad. "My jeans are blue." Some people call the double entendre racist. Others call the ads sexist. Even President Trump weighed in. "Sydney Sweeney, a registered Republican, has the hottest ad out there," Trump wrote in a post on Truth Social. Some marketing pundits predicted that the culture war uproar would drain American Eagle sales and dent its reputation as similar controversies had for companies like Cracker Barrel, Target, and Anheuser-Busch InBev. Instead, American Eagle sales improved after the Sweeney campaign began and sales growth turned positive in August, the company said. The Sweeney ads helped bring a nearly a million new customers between July and September. The Sweeney cinched waist denim jacket sold out in a day, and the Sweeney jean, an ultra-wide leg with a butterfly on the back pocket, sold out in a week. Polling commissioned by the company showed that many customers viewed the ads favorably. Scottstenson said in a recent afternoon in his New York office, where he wore a hunter green sweater and jeans from the Italian fashion house Kiton, black Dior sneakers, and a Patek Philippe watch. American Eagle avoided a backlash because, unlike other brands, it leaned in and stayed the course, said Susan Cantor, chief executive of Sterling Brands, a consumer branding company. By sticking to their guns, they gained customers, she said. Scottstenson, an Orthodox Jew, was perplexed at the criticism that the campaign smacked of eugenics, the Nazi-embraced theory that selective reproduction can advance the human race. He said his mother-in-law grew up in Nazi Germany and watched as the synagogue across the street from her home was burned to the ground. "I'm very conscious of that term," Scottstenson said. He said that if he and his team had felt the campaign would be offensive in that way, we never would have done it. Scottstenson said, uses a Yiddish word to describe his long-held goal for American Eagle, to put a pair of jeans on every tushy in the American United States. The 71-year-old has an uncanny ability to discern what young shoppers want. The storm over the Sweeney ads was still blowing when American Eagle unveiled a collaboration with Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce and his True Colors clothing brand, the day after Kelce and Taylor Swift announced their engagement. Lucky timing, Perhaps, but Costinson said works hard at being a teen whisperer. He surrounds himself with people of diverse ages, backgrounds, and beliefs, and asks a lot of questions. His 3 sons and 9 grandchildren are a particularly helpful focus group. Basketball star LeBron James counts him as a friend. James became friendly with the Scottsdensons while playing state championship basketball at the Scottsdenson Center on the Ohio State campus. In 2009, James nominated Scottsdenson, said, for Time magazine's list of the 100 most influential people. "We have a huge relationship," James told Cleveland.com in 2016. Maverick Center, a longtime friend, Maverick Carter, a longtime friend and business partner of both James and Scottsdenson, who runs an entertainment company, describes meeting Scottsdenson as a young African-American kid from the inner city of Akron, Ohio. Scottsdenson also stays current by traveling. While visiting Israel with his granddaughters in 2017, he noticed they were going wild for flow ring bracelets that looked like slinkies. He tracked down the manufacturer and sold them in American Eagle stores, generating nearly $1 million in sales. Scottsdenson has honed his instincts for decades in a retail business founded by his grandfather, Ephraim, a Lithuanian immigrant, who opened a department store in Columbus, Ohio in 1917. Through holding companies and family trusts, Jay Scottsdenson owns or has stakes in dozens of businesses, from shoe retailer DSW and furniture company American Signature to a Napa Valley winery and a luxury men's clothing store in Milan. He owns roughly 7.8% of American Eagle Outfitters, a publicly traded company that controls 4 apparel retail chains, including loungewear brand Ire and men's clothing retailer Todd Snyder. Jennifer Foyle, president and executive creative director of American Eagle and Ire, said she wakes up to morning texts from her boss about new ideas he wants to try. "It's a consistent shark tank," she said, referring to the TV show where entrepreneurs pitch their ideas to a group of investors. American Eagle regularly tops the list of denim brands favored by Gen Z consumers. It was the number 1 jeans brand in the U.S. for people ages 15 to 25 in the 12 months that ended in July, according to market research firm Circana. Those ads Sweeney did for American Eagle aren't going anywhere. She is the brand's ambassador for the rest of the year. Sid's Picks, a collection of Sweeney's favorite American Eagle items, including a low-rise jean, lace tank top, and utility jacket, will continue to be featured on its website, and the Sydney jean will be restocked in November. Write to Suzanne Kapner at suzanne.kapner@wsj.com. An AI wake-up call from Walmart CEO, plus Taylor Swift's engagement highlights, a trend for women in the workplace, and laid-off tech workers are skeptical of the new H-1B fee. In this edition of the Careers in Leadership newsletter by Connor Grant. This is an edition of the WSJ Careers in Leadership newsletter, a weekly digest to help get you ahead and stay informed about careers, business management, and leadership. Walmart's CEO issued an AI wake-up call, saying the technology will wipe out some jobs and reshape the company's workforce. Doug McMillon's remarks, which echo those made by leaders at Ford, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Amazon, reflect a rapid shift in how executives discuss the potential human cost of AI. Women who out-earn their husbands have a new model. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, fans following the engagement between the pop icon and football star, have noted that she's the high earner, a once-taboo dynamic that's increasingly common. The leader of American Eagle dodged Sidney Sweeney backlash, in part by directing employees not to comment on ads that were labeled racist and sexist by critics. "You can't run from fear," said CEO Jay Skostenstein. "We stand behind what we did." The company said sales improved after the campaign. Some founders think that they need not one but two successors. Spotify's Daniel Ek became one of the latest to step down and be succeeded by CEOs Oracle and Comcast, also recently announced joint CEOs, even though the move has mixed record. GSK said CEO Emma Walmsley would step down after she led the drug maker through the COVID-19 pandemic. Tensions with activist investor Elliott Management and a portfolio shakeup that included the spin-off of its consumer healthcare business. The number of jobs that Germany's Robert Bosch said it plans to cut over the next 5 years as the company leans into AI to maximize productivity, 13,000. Laid-off tech workers say the H-1B crackdown won't help them get jobs. The Trump administration's new fee on the visas are intended to open up opportunities for U.S. tech workers. Yet many American job hunters who spoke with WSJ said they don't expect the policy to improve a dismal job market. The Careers and Leadership newsletter helps you get ahead and stay informed about careers, business management, and leadership. Reach them at careers@wsj.com. Got a tip for us? Here's how to submit. Global markets mixed as U.S. government shuts down. Pharma stocks rose after Trump's plans for a government website letting consumers buy drugs from manufacturers. By Dow Jones Newswire's staff. U.S. stock futures were down early in European trading along with the dollar, while gold hit yet another fresh record after U.S. lawmakers failed to reach a funding deal, triggering a government shutdown. ADP private payrolls numbers for September will still land later, but other key data won't be published for the duration of the shutdown, clouding investors' ability to track the economy and plot the Federal Reserve's rate path. In terms of other economic data, final September PMIs for a range of countries are landing. Pharmaceutical stocks jumped. Meanwhile, after President Trump unveiled plans to launch government-run website for consumers to buy drugs directly from manufacturers, U.S. stock futures for the S&P 500 were down 0.8%. Futures for the Dow Jones Industrial Average decreased 0.7%, and NASDAQ futures fell 0.9% early in Europe. In Asia, Japan's Nikkei 225 index declined 0.8%, while South Korea's Kospi gained 0.9%. South Korea's exports grew at a faster-than-expected pace in September, despite U.S. tariffs, buoyed by solid chip demand and more working days. Markets in Hong Kong and China were closed. In Europe, the pan-European stocks, Europe 600, climbed 0.1% shortly after the open, with national stock markets narrowly mixed. The UK's FTSE 100 added 0.3%. European pharmaceutical stocks traded sharply higher after Trump's plans to launch the Trump RX direct-to-consumer drug site. The stocks Europe 600 healthcare index rose 3% amid individual stocks. Switzerland's Roche jumped 4.6%. Germany's Merck, KGaA, France's Sanofi, Belgium's UCB, Denmark's Zealand Pharma, and London-listed HIKMA Pharmaceuticals all rose more than 4%, while Danish giant Novo Nordisk was up 3.7%. Tuesday's announcement was specific to Pfizer, but many represent a blueprint for broader cooperation between the pharma industry and the Trump administration, analysts at Jefferies wrote. Gold prices climbed to a fresh record as investors turned to safe haven assets after the U.S. government shut down. Gold futures were last up 0.5% to $3,894.60 a troy ounce after reaching $3,904.10 earlier in the season. The DXY Dollar Index, which measures the greenback against a basket of other major currencies, was 1% lower at 97.644 after hitting a one-week low of 97.584 overnight. Bitcoin was down 0.3% to $114,487, according to LSEG data. U.S. Treasury yields were little changed. The 10-year to 30-year Treasury yields were flat at 4.149% and 4.731%, respectively, according to the TradeWeb data. Oil prices edged higher following a two-day slide, with Brent crude and WTI both rising 6.6% to $66.41 and $62.74 a barrel, respectively. The benchmark settled lower in the previous two sessions on expectations that OPEC will agree to raise output again at its next meeting on Sunday, exacerbating concerns over excess supplies. Write to Barcelona Editors at barcelonaeditors@dowjones.com. And here's an opinion article by the editorial board. The government shutdown stakes for the GOP. Will the party extend pandemic Obamacare subsidies that enrich health insurers? As we write this, Washington seems headed towards the ritual melodrama of a government shutdown. But the stakes in this case are about more than political gamesmanship. Democrats are manufacturing a panic over Obamacare subsidies that will test if Republicans have any stomach to curb runaway entitlements. Democrats are warning of higher premiums if the GOP doesn't extend turbocharged Obamacare subsidies that expire at the end of the year. GOP leaders are already hinting that they are open to negotiating, and some are floating ideas that would give Democrats much of what they want. I don't love the policy, okay, Speaker Mike Johnson said recently, but I understand the political realities. Uh-oh. Mr. Johnson is correct that the subsidies are bad policy, though it would help if Republicans told the public the reasons. The supercharged subsidies first passed in 2021 for a COVID-19 emergency that ended long ago. Democrats juiced the subsidies for everyone while also opening up the spigot to those earning above 400% of the poverty line. Democrats set a 2025 expiration date to make the Inflation Reduction Act look less expensive over a 10-year budget window, but fully expecting that Congress would extend the subsidies again. No Republican voted for that bill, but now some are too frightened to let the super subsidies expire. Despite what you might read, letting them expire wouldn't gut the Affordable Care Act. Someone at 100% of the poverty line would still on average pay merely $3.45 a week in premiums for the cheapest middle tier plan, according to Brian Blaze of Paragon Health Institute and Trevor Carlson of the Foundation for Government Accountability, FGA. Taxpayers would still pay 98% of the premium. The cost would run roughly $52 a week for a person at 250% of the poverty line, with taxpayers picking up more than two-thirds of the premium. These are reasonable contributions to a health plan, as most people who get insurance from private employers understand. Nearly 3 in 4 Obamacare enrollees are below this income level. Making these plans free has allowed insurers to get paid for people who may not even know they're enrolled. Some 40% of those in fully subsidized plans had zero claims in 2024. Paragon and the FGA estimate a number that can't be explained merely by healthy people not using their insurance. Democrats don't mention that the sweetened subsidies are attracting more Americans to the Obamacare exchanges from better employer coverage. Mr. Blase and Carlson cite Congressional Budget Office data estimating that the expanded subsidies would reduce employment-based coverage by 4 million people. Do Republicans want to endorse that cost transfer to taxpayers? Extending that subsidies would cost roughly $450 billion over a decade, even if Congress disguises the cost with another phony expiration date. The Trump administration is wasting its time cutting a few billion dollars in foreign aid if it acquiesces to a $500 billion transfer to health insurers. The GOP in Congress could at least try to talk about giving Americans more and better health insurance choices. The Trump administration recently announced new rules letting more people purchase a less expensive catastrophic plan on the exchanges versus only those under age 30. It's a start, not that President Trump ever talks about it. Republicans fear the politics of health care are now nervous about defending their changes to the Medicaid in their next budget bill. One certainty, ratifying Obamacare subsidies won't defuse these attacks. Democrats want to make extension of the subsidies the price for reopening the government. But every Republican has voted to keep the government open, while Democrats are voting against funding it. Many Republicans voted for Mr. Trump's tax bill in June, in part because he promised to restrain future spending. Giving Democrats some of their $500 billion subsidy demand would betray that promise. That brings us to the end of today's edition of the Wall Street Journal. I'm Joanne Lowney, your volunteer broadcaster on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Stay tuned for more interesting programs on Sun Sounds.